That was way longer than I thought it would be. But I did give you like 10 minutes at the beginning to tell all your dating stories.
That barely scratched the surface. Welcome to Subscurity, the podcast about obscure subcultures. I'm Brenna.
And I'm Jordan. And today we're talking about obscure dating sites. So you're single.
Really? I'm surprised it only took you 37 episodes to figure that one out and drop that casually as an insult.
Not an insult.
Oh, it was layered with don't fucking do that where you're like, it was just a statement. Like, there was tone and implications to it. Fuck off.
I feel like you're being defensive.
Oh, because I know, wait, where is this going, Jordan?
And you've been single for the 37 episodes we recorded.
I have.
What is your experience with online dating?
Oh, interesting. I mean, I've tried it. I've dabbled. I feel like I've been a part of it, not from its origin, because it's been around for like a couple decades, I would say. But I remember like in...
Has the internet been around for a couple decades?
Literally 2 decades. I don't know. Yeah, but no, I remember in college, this was before I used it, but I remember like friends of friends using online dating, and it was super taboo at the time. Like, it was, I think, at a point in time when people would kind of lie about how they met because they were too embarrassed to admit they met online. Yeah. And so I've really seen, I think, the evolution of it to now it's just a very commonplace way to meet people. And that's how a lot of people meet.
If not the most common, it seems like.
If not the most common. Yeah. My personal experience, I mean, I basically go through this phase where I download the apps like once a year out of just like pure boredom and sometimes I think more morbid curiosity, or like, okay, maybe it's time to date, like whatever. And then I'll go on like a date or two. I'm like, oh, fuck, I hate this. And
dating? Yeah.
I mean, some of the dates suck, but like, it's more the process, because the way I always put it to people, and I hate to sound like back in my day when people met in person, but I just think so much is lost in the online atmosphere. And obviously plenty of people have had success, but like the way I always put it is I think personality adds or detracts so much from a person. Like, I could see a hot guy at a bar, be instantly attracted to him, and as soon as he starts talking, I'm like, you're a douchebag, I'm not interested. Or a guy you don't really notice and, you know, he's okay looking, but he doesn't register, and you have like really great chemistry, and all of a sudden I'm really attracted to this person. You just don't get that with online dating. And yes, you can text people, and that's just such a different environment because they might not be as good over text, or conversely, they could be really funny over text and you have great banter, and then you get in person and it's just not the same. So, I mean, granted, plenty of people have success. I think it's just such a... I don't know what the right word is, but it's just such a process that I go through that I'm just like, eh. And it feels really shallow, the whole like swipe left, swipe right. And I've done things where I try to swipe right on people more based on personality and not just looks. But then a lot of times they end up, you know, not rising to the occasion. So I don't
you
know.
Don't
it's
rise
like
to the occasion? Is that what you said?
No, they don't rise to the occasion. Ah. Let's be clear. I am the occasion. but no, like, I don't know. It's just, it feels like a very superficial way to connect with people. I get it's like the most common and that's fine. I just haven't found a way to do it that like works for me. And it feels like tedious. And I'm not someone who needs to be constantly dating. I think a lot of, you know, my few single friends, sometimes I think they feel like a void or an absence, and it's just not like a priority for me at the moment.
Got it.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah. Do you have any like good stories of people you've met?
Online dating?
Yeah.
I remember one of the funniest messages I ever got was a guy wrote to me, he goes, "Do you like anal or is your face just like that?" I don't know what that means.
I think he called you a butt face.
Butt face? Did I ever tell you about the guy I went on like a couple dates with and the awkward kiss, most awkward kiss of my life?
Probably, but I think we should definitely relive this.
All right, listeners, buckle up. So I met a guy, we went on an online date, and this was actually after I got our friend's car towed. I actually had to cancel on him twice because I was stranded because I had gotten our friend's car towed, blah, blah, blah. And I went on a date and he was kind of like cute looking in photos. And I wasn't sure, was he going to be someone who like, you know, looked like that in person, or was he going to be like a lot different looking in person? And I remember showing up to the bar and I thought he was like super cute and we hit it off. Like I actually would say it was the best date I've been on in Seattle, like even better than like, I don't know, relationship dates. Like it was just a great date. Like we had such a great time. We just connected on so many different things and like it would ebb and flow between like talking about, you know, kind of our background and just our interests. And like, you know how sometimes you just feel like it's very transactional or just kind of late, like the standard kind of questions. Oh, this is where I grew up. Like, it was just like we had known each other for a long time. Yeah. It was just like we had known each other for a long time. The banter was great. Stayed out for a really long time. And I think like a couple hours into the night, like we're sitting at a bar, a few drinks in, and I'm looking at him. Like my first impression of him is that he's definitely cute. And then we're having this great time. So I have the physical attraction and we have chemistry. And I'm sitting there at the bar thinking like, I just have no desire to like make out with this guy. And that's like kind of a pretty basic necessary instinct, I think, when you're dating someone, especially at the beginning. It was
no
weird.
Sexual chemistry.
Yeah, and I'm trying to like analyze it because we have the banter and I find him visibly attractive. So it's not, so I'm just like, why isn't this like coming together in like the perfect way? Like it felt really weird to me. Like, God, I'm overanalyzing this. So anyway, went home. You could tell he was like gonna go in for the kiss kind of, but I just like hugged him, went into the Uber. And I was like, well, I got to do a second date. Like I just had a good time and like it was clearly worth a second date. Like it was just, I don't know. I just didn't want to like bang him, which is kind of the energy you want to have like on a first date, right? You just that energy. And so we go on a second date. He spends the whole time talking about himself. Like it was a completely different vibe the second time around. And I was just like, oh, like not too long in, I was like, oh, this just isn't going to work. So mentally I'd kind of made that, you know, established that early on. Like, it's not as good as the first time around. Like, I just don't think this is meant to be. And the bummer was, like, and I also think this is something you lose in online dating, I could actually see him being like someone I would love to introduce to our friend group. I think he'd get along with our friend group. And I honestly think he could be someone who over time I like fall for. And you can't ask that though. Like, hey, I don't really have any sexual interest in you right now, but like, do you want to come like hang out just platonically and see if it happens over the course of a couple months?
And I don't need more friends, if I'm being honest.
So anyway, it was kind of, but I was thinking that I was like, oh, that's a bummer. Cause I really like him as a person, but you're like, you're not going to go on a date with someone and be like, oh, let's just hang out platonically. I mean, some people do, but that wasn't going to be it. Anyway, we leave the bar. He's like looking at me and we're talking and like, he's really not picking up on my body language and the hints that I'm like not interested. And he leans in for a kiss. And so I turn my head to the side and I kind of like hug him, and he keeps, even though as I'm turning, you would think he would read that pretty obviously like, oh, not going to happen. So I'm turning my head away and he continues to turn his face into my face. And so I decide what I'm going to do. Like the thought process in my mind is, okay, I'll turn my head back and give him like a peck on the cheek kind of thing. Like, mwah.
Like and, French?
Yeah, well, because like he didn't take the hint to not like, so he's turning in. And so rather than interpret that I'm going to like peck on the cheek, he interprets that as, oh, she wants to kiss me. And so before I know it, half his mouth is planted on half my mouth. And there's a tongue like separating my lips. And it was just like the most uncomfortable
thing.
Like it was like the most uncomfortable thing. Cause I was like, oh my God, like I'm not kidding. And then I'm like, cause I wasn't prepared for a kiss. I'm like, oh my God, do I kiss back? And so it was terrible. And what I distinctly remember, and so awkward. And what I distinctly remember is I'm facing away from the bar. I'm facing kind of the sidewalk and he's facing towards the bar cause this is outside. And this guy passed by us, saw the whole thing, and he laughed to himself and like chuckled and like turned his head down. And I was like, oh my God, that was so, so incredibly uncomfortable. Like most awkward kiss of my life.
That's like watch people die material. Watch people die inside. Whatever.
I guess it was so uncomfortable. I don't know how he didn't like, dude, I'm not turning into the kiss. Like it's pretty obvious.
How did the conversation go after that? Like, Did you guys message after that?
Yeah, I think he had texted me like asking when I was free again, and I was just like, oh
bold.
I know. I'm just like, dude. I was like, hey, really enjoyed you as a person.
Respect.
I was just like, look, I really have fun hanging out with you. I'm just not sure I feel any chemistry, and
yeah,
best of luck to you.
Well, I know you.
Why do you ask, Jordan? Thank
well,
you
I know
for
you were
platform.
You began this by adamantly lying that you don't care about being in relationships or constantly dating or whatever. But since we both know that's not true, I think we could use this podcast episode as an opportunity for you to find new avenues to meet potential suitors.
What are you doing? What is happening here? What is
we are going to be discussing obscure dating today.
What is obscure dating, Jordan?
Like obscure dating apps and websites for very niche interests and groups of people.
Like
to
Christian
find...
Mingle.
Yeah, except that's not obscure, right? Like that's well known now. But the Farmers Only, Christian Mingle, J-Date, right? All those are publicized pretty well. So I've got a list of ones that aren't not as well known. Some
I'm
of these
so excited.
People might have heard of, but they're a little bit more obscure.
I'm very excited. Let's hear it.
So let's see which ones. I mean, you tell me which of these you would be willing to throw a profile up on as well.
Okay. Here's what we'll do. I will let one lucky listener make me a profile on the dating site of their choice, and you can make another one, Jordan. How about that?
Oh, that's perfect. I get to choose the pictures, and I get to Photoshop them as appropriate.
I don't think you have that creative license whatsoever at all.
Well, so the first one is first one I want to talk about is called Awake Dating, and I picked this one as for number one because we've had so many like random episodes about conspiracy theories or weird beliefs, if you will, or let's just say beliefs that go against the norm. You know, that we've done in the past.
What I was gonna say, I hope people are awake. Like that's a whole other issue about consent.
It's not narcoleptic. More like woke? It's not like anti-narcoleptic dating. No, it is, and it's not woke as in civil rights woke.
Okay.
It is awake as in the place to meet someone who shares your socially inconvenient understandings and truth-seeking ethos.
Please elaborate.
Conspiracy theories.
So
if you're somebody who believes the moon is hollow and filled with, you know, our government or whatever, our government of reptilian overlords, Awake Dating would be a great platform for you to meet people who would be interested in learning more about your ideas and wouldn't shut the door on them immediately or judge you for them.
How many users does Awake Dating have?
So this is going to be where... Like a recurring theme here is a lot of these do not publicize those stats.
Damn, and I'm going to Google as we go, if that's okay.
This one's awake.dating. It's hard to find some of that data without either creating a profile or, and usually it's more really paying for the privilege of using the service. And I'm not that generous with my money So I don't know the answer to that, but I did scroll through several pages of recent profiles on the website. So there's people, men and women both. And it was created by the Fidden family. Fidden. And again, their mission, their goal was to provide those with socially inconvenient understandings and awareness the opportunity to meet on a platform just for those people. Or as they say, for the awake. By the awake.
Yeah.
They want to bring love and acceptance in a community free of knee-jerk reactions and to help fund their other endeavors in bringing the awake community's quality social sites of privacy, anonymity, free speech, and change, which is, I guess, an app or some sort of forum called Awake Social. They also have an upcoming TV stream that will be streaming 24-hour live content, news, talk shows, etc. So this is one of those sites that has a larger purpose than just helping you meet people. It also is a great place for you to learn information distributed directly from the family who runs the site.
So OAN and Fox News weren't enough. We needed a new conspiracy network out there.
Yeah.
So is there a foundation, like a conspiracy that is like broadly advertised and agreed upon on the site, or is it really just whatever?
I didn't you want it see. To be? Yeah. I mean, the websites that pointed me to this website made a lot of jokes about your random reptilian overlord type conspiracies. I didn't see anything specifically on this, but my general sense lately is that there is, you just made the joke about OAN and all those, but like tends to be a pretty strong overlap between those like political conspiracies as well as social phenomena, those kind of conspiracies. So
gotcha, okay.
I don't know that for a fact, but I would not be shocked to see that there is some overlap there.
Interesting. Okay.
So are we, how's that? Are we going to post a profile there or not?
No. Okay. Actually, before I answer, can you tell me, does it get weirder or more normal?
It depends. I'm going to go all over the place here.
Okay.
I just wanted to start there.
We'll pass on that
one. I felt like, you know, we started this show, the first episode with Law of One, and we've had some other kind of out there beliefs. Yeah, exactly. So I wanted to start with that. Gothicmatch.com.
Ooh,
Gothic Match is the first, the largest, and the best online Gothic social networking site for Gothic singles in the world.
Is there more than one Gothic dating site?
You know,
they're the first.
I don't
and the
know.
Best.
The first, largest, and best. So it doesn't matter really if there are others.
They're second
thousands.
Smallest and worst.
GothicSubmatch.com. Yeah, I don't know. They've helped thousands of Gothic singles to date other Gothic girls, Gothic boys, emo girls, and emo boys. They're completely
free. What's the
age
range? Sorry, I don't mean to keep like interrupting you, but I'm just like so intrigued because I feel, and this is my own social ignorance, and granted, we live in a pretty weird city and we're pretty close to Portland, also a very weird city.
deflect.
In terms of eclectic, you know, tastes and nature, but I don't feel like I see a lot of like practicing goth, and of course, my idea of that might just be completely misinformed because I'm just picturing someone completely dressed in black and like black makeup and their dark hair.
It was a thing that when we were in high school, right? Like,
yeah, that's what I'm picturing.
Thousands,
like,
yeah,
a depressed teen, an angsty teen listening to Avril.
a depressed onion cutting itself. Yeah, no, exactly. I'm gonna be honest, this is one of those sites where the only thing I could do to see data would have been to sign up, and I didn't take that amount of effort. However, let me say two things to answer your question. First of all, the search function starts at minimum age 18 and goes to age 99. So theoretically, this has a wide gamut of people. But two other points I would make. The second is the major like header banner picture on the website is like a vampire basically looking like he's about to bite a Gothic Victorian woman.
Okay.
So it's not the goth how I think of goth, which is like what you're saying, the black clothes, black lipstick.
Wait,
dyed
is this
black
people
hair.
Who are like infatuated with the Gothic time period and era and clothing?
I don't think it can be because again, like they advertise emo girls, emo boys, which is exactly what you were talking about, right? However, all of their like imagery is like oriented around Victorian gothicism, right? Like Dracula, Van Helsing, that Frankenstein, that kind of thing. I don't know if Frankenstein counts, but you know what I mean. The funnier part of this though is it's kind of hidden on the site, but if you get to the success stories page where they list all the people who have met and become a successful couple out of it, they have three stock photos on that page, none of which are goths. They're like young white couples sitting on a boat or with the a city skyline and water behind them holding hands, like the most generic like match.com style pictures, nothing to do with goth or emo culture at all. So like you see this website, it just feels like one of those things that's like its job is to scrape people's user data and
and
not really have anything to do with finding you a match, but it is out there. It is advertised.
Well, to answer our earlier question, I did, while you're talking, Google Gothic dating site, and that is not even the first one that shows up. There is Woven Black, which is the singles and dating community of the dark alternative scene. And then there's also Darkeria, which is goth, rock, and metal dating. You can meet thousands of singles with your musical taste and lifestyle, from rock to punk, goth, dark wave, metal, thrash, black, or doom.
So what you will find is a lot of these niche sites are part of larger networks.
Okay.
That focus on a lot of different things. So if you're really into music, there might be a pop rock dating scene, right? And that is there's a website or app specifically to find people who are really into pop rock. But it's part of a network of websites that would include hip hop and bluegrass and whatever else. Again, it's hard to say how many people are actually using this, but I'm going to get into kind of towards the end here that it isn't as just like much of a, user scraping data platform as you might imagine. Like, people do find companionship through these applications.
I would hope so.
Right. But it's just like, it's so buried on the internet that you would never stumble upon it. Right. Unless you're actively searching out.
Yeah. But I feel like these are the exact types of things people would be actively searching out. To some extent, maybe not you accidentally stumbled upon some of these, I'm sure. But, I can see if you're really into goth or you're really into conspiracy theories and you're single,
and I don't want to be judged by when I go on my date with a person, right? I want to talk about our reptilian overlords that have infiltrated the world governments, right? I don't want to be left out of the room. I just want them to understand me, right? Where do you go to have that safe space?
Well, actually, before we go on to the next one, or before you continue your thought, as a married man, how did you discover all of these dating sites? Or how did you just get this idea?
How did I get the idea? I don't know.
How did you stumble upon, how did you find this? I'm always really curious when we bring
I
up
think I topics, must have, it must have been one of those times where a random farmers only, is that?
Yeah.
Yeah, farmers only, whatever. Because you've seen those commercials, right? Late at night on a random channel, they'll be farmersonly.com or whatever.
Which is crazy enough, that's a big enough one to advertise
that they
pretty
can pay
broadly.
For that?
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
They have the ad revenue to support them. Yeah. Right. So I think at one point I must have seen it, and I just wrote the note to myself, obscure dating apps. And then I went and actually just searched for them. So something, I'm sure I have a list of sources for this, but I'm sure some of them would be from a BuzzFeed article I discovered somewhere, right? And unfortunately, a lot of them that were in those random list of random apps, a lot of those no longer exist. For example, I was really excited to talk about one called glutenfreesingles.com, which I don't think was specific to celiac only people, but people don't want to eat gluten. But unfortunately, that one seems to no longer exist, or maybe it's just a Facebook group now, and I don't have Facebook, so I can't get to it. But either way, the point was I don't have any information on that one. But so a lot of these kind of appear overnight and then disappear almost as quickly. But the ones I'm talking about today, I can verify as of January of 2022, still exist and are online if you are interested in joining any of these communities. Speaking of which, here's a community that I think you would actually want to try. Uglyschmucks.com.
What the fuck? Uglyschmucks.com? Is this for ugly people to find other ugly people?
Yeah.
Oh, what's that shitty name for it? I actually genuinely kind of empathize with the need, because I'm sure that is hard.
I'm sure it's hard
asshole.
For other people.
For other people who are ugly. But no, I'm not I'm making a joke, but no, I think that's a real thing. Yeah. I wish that kind of hurts that they named it Ugly Schmucks. Well, maybe we could have done something a little different, but it does get right to the point.
No, I think it, and I wanted to talk about this one specifically because this is not, it sounds like a joking one, but this one's actually, I think, one of the most interesting ones. And I think they're owning that descriptor of themselves in the game. And so this is one where there is a little bit more data. So 60,000 people are part of the community, which is not small. I mean, it's small compared to Tinder, but I was, you know, I'm imagining some of the ones I'm talking today probably have dozens, maybe hundreds of people. Like 60,000 is not nothing, right? They advertise themselves as a site for people who prefer genuine personality over outer appearance. And so this reminded me a little bit of what you started off initially, that you would swipe right. Sorry, which is the direction? Right?
Right is a match, left is pass.
Yeah. You would swipe right to match people that you said sometimes were a little bit outside of your physical preferences because you were trying to like understand their personality. Like, and so I think this is kind of the next level of that, right? They want this website, while it's called Ugly Schmucks and kind of jokes about being only for ugly people, I think it's really about, like they say, gearing you towards people who may feel unattractive or uncomfortable in their own skin, but is designed to help them succeed in meeting others who value genuine personality over outer appearance.
Yeah, I'm on their site and I see that. And it's kind of like, I really do totally get it because it's true. Like there are different levels of attractiveness. But then this is, it's kind of sad too. I get it. It's owning it. Like, why is it tougher to date when you're an unattractive person? But it says, have you ever thought to yourself, I am ugly. All around us, we see gorgeous people on television and movies and magazines. We see ugly people too, but they're not the main actors. Yeah. They're the dishwashers, the janitors, the bad guys. Aww.
Yeah. But I mean, it goes on. The whole perception of ugly people is that they are of lower stature than everyone else. I find this perception amazingly ugly, right? And it's interesting. So the guy who created the website, his name is Joe something. His name is Joe. He says that he initially got the idea to do it as a kind of tongue-in-cheek social experiment.
Okay.
And what was surprising to him was that it actually gained adoption. Yeah, people were really interested in it. And he did it, and like his tongue-in-cheek experiment was because when he graduated college in the early 2010s, how do we say this? In the tens, he came across dating websites that basically were just full of, you know, beautiful people only, right? And he was like, this is not super realistic in my experience. In an article that kind of talked about this specific application, they listed a study from a journal called Frontiers in Psychology, and it basically spent how much time people spent looking at a profile before like swiping right or left, like agreeing to date or agreeing to go say that they like the person or not, right? And so the experiment was using the dating app Hinge, which I guess is one of the newer ones. You're nodding at me, so
yeah,
I'm out of the loop. I've never used a dating app because I predate them apparently.
Oh, haven't I let you swipe on mine before though? You've at least done that. You've at least got your experience.
I never had a profile or anything.
I know I got it. Yeah. I got it.
outside of my Ashley Madison. That's a joke. That's a joke.
Good one.
Thanks. So in the study, they found that women actually spent less time analyzing a man's attractiveness than vice versa. The average woman spent 3.19 seconds looking at a profile before determining whether to swipe right or left. Men were over double, 6.91 seconds.
That kind of annoys me, like, because I just feel like that kind of reinforces, like, the double standard for women. Like, I don't know, that kind of annoys me, and I'm not having the most positive connotation of that statistic.
I'm not saying it's positive or not, but I think the point was, the point I took for it is that
men are more shallow than women.
Is 3 to 6 seconds long enough to determine whether, like, someone is a viable potential match for you?
No,
I guess physically, but yeah.
That's why it goes back to like what I said about, you know, the criticality of in-person interaction for me is just like that truly makes or breaks a person in their entirety.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just on that kind of same vein. I know with Tinder now, they like, I think you can put like 6 or 9 photos or whatever, but what they'll do, I think it's Tinder. you can turn this on or off. Like you can order it so the photos are in whatever chronological order you want, and not have it be changeable. Or you can, you know, order it however you want to and say, change it based on whichever profile picture is the most engaging. So if people are like really lingering on photo number three, they'll move it to number one.
SEO to,
yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that wild?
Yeah. Jesus. Can I, not exactly related to that, but on the Tinder note, I am semi-addicted to what are probably fake, but the posts on like our Tinder and similar subreddits. I know I'm like old man yelling at clouds here, but like it is so, I have so much distance from this, like both in terms of like never having used dating apps and also just in terms of what people are currently saying to each other to get dates or whatever. And it, I don't know, it's hilarious. A lot of them are very funny and a lot of them are kind of gross. So I find a lot of entertainment out of other people's either meme post or just misery that they're posting on there.
Yeah. I'm trying to scroll through my phone. Cause it like, I know whenever I'm on there, I'll take like screenshots of all the horrifying and hilarious things people say, but I don't like, it's been so long. And what, I can't find anything that was sent to me, but I did find a tweet that I thought was, that I apparently screenshotted and happens to be related to Tinder. And it says, redownloaded Tinder. And the first guy's bio read, I identify as male, M-A-I-L, because all I do is fucking send it. And now I remember why I deleted it. So that sounds about my experience. Yeah. Every single time I do it, I just stumble across something fucking stupid.
And then you found your match and you don't need to keep going.
That is true. Oh, actually I found, all right, not a message, but someone's bio. This is from, how old is this? This is from 2020. I guess I looked at this in 2020 while I was bored during COVID. This guy says, I'm kind and considerate. My intention is to love someone and be in a relationship. I enjoy exercising, jogging, relaxing while watching Netflix and playing video games. Would like to meet a woman to do those things with. Let's get fit together. I do not like to cuss. I have great hygiene. Ha ha.
That's
so those are the most important things to put in the bio.
Generic person I've ever heard of.
But it's like very bizarre. Who says I have good hygiene and I do not like to cuss?
Well, maybe someone whose English isn't their first language.
Maybe. I have good hygiene.
Wow.
In what language would you put that though?
I don't know. I'm not racist like you, so you tell me.
I don't think that's fair at all.
I'm just
like
teasing. Calm down.
Jeez, Louise. You know I'm sensitive as a white woman. I'm very whitely fragile.
No, I know. It's
fragilely
white.
You
say a white person has any sort of biases.
I don't think we do. That's a joke too. That's a joke too. Just kidding.
God. So that was Ugly Schmucks. Consider it if you're looking for personality over appearance.
I would just go on there and everyone would be like, what are you doing on here? You're not ugly.
Where's my crickets? Where's my cricket soundboard?
All right. What's the next one, Jordan?
So then there's other ones that I thought were interesting just in terms of like finding people kind of who have similar, who would understand your life, I guess. So I kind of mentioned the one that doesn't exist anymore, for gluten-free people. But singleswithfoodallergies.com, which is an online community for people who, well, I'm going to quote them because it's just too funnily written, but nowhere else will you find so many divorced, never married, or widowed individuals whose lives are all affected by food allergies. This community allows us to stop being mom or dad, if we ever were, and focus on being the outstanding single man or single woman that we are. Celiac and sexy? Dairy-free and dynamic? You have discovered a very useful website for singles with food allergies.
What a weird thing to bond over. Like, there's something, like, I guess there's some things that are really critical. Like, I can get the Christian mingle because a lot of people, you want to be aligned on religion and J-date. That makes total sense to me, even if it's not, like, my speed. Like, really? That's the thing you want to carve out is someone else who's on a dietary restriction? Like,
that's what
I don't know.
That's
strange to me, but whatever, to each their own.
I kind of get it. I agree with you. Like, it's not something I would ever do, but I kind of get it in that, like, my wife, for example, has a very close friend who is celiac. And so legitimately gluten-free, not pretending that gluten affects them in some way otherwise. No offense to any of you out there. She is always that person has always had a hard time like going to restaurants or eating and so forth because lots of things have gluten in it. Now, when in Seattle, it's a little easier because again, in the kind of the ironic thing of all this is that people who are obsessed with being gluten free have made it easier for people who actually need to be, right? That is kind of a nice thing. But generally, like it can be hard to like it can be. I've seen from her perspective that sometimes it can be hard for her partners who are like used to, you know, going like eating is like going out and eating is like a very common thing or whatever else, right? And realizing that it's really restrictive for her and it's hard to like find that compatibility that way. Like, again, I agree with you. It's a little bit hyper specific to me. And I don't think I would ever be something that I would like pursue to that level. But I get like why for some people, especially if your restriction is very serious or very, very wide, like why you would want to maybe look for people who would understand that or be willing to like, kind of put up with that in a way that's maybe some of the people might be less patient.
Yeah, no, I 100% get that. Like celiac, that is a serious life-threatening disease. And having been a vegetarian for a decade, I mean, it would be kind of annoying. Like it did Seattle, super easy, like really didn't have to think twice. But yeah, people just don't think about that. And I'm sure in other places it's much more difficult. But like at least being a one, that's a choice, being a vegetarian. And, you know, you can just deal. But yeah, if that's like truly your illness, that's a much different story. And I actually remember when I worked at a restaurant, this woman came in and, you know, it was a nicer restaurant. So we had like notes on customers and she was celiac, but again, highly, highly allergic. And so I put it on the notes to the kitchen and they missed it and almost killed her. But we did because someone caught it just in time. Yeah. So
like just before
it
she
is risky.
Ate it or like...
Just before she ate it. Like, God. I'm not kidding.
Wow.
It was, that did not go over well.
Yeah. Well, better to be yelled at than have to have that woman's hospital visit on your conscience.
I mean, it was my fault.
No, I mean, just like for the restaurant, right? Like, it's good whoever did. Yeah, stop that. So similar to, not similar in the sense of like... Let me be very careful how I balance these things. What I mean is similar in the sense of... finding people who understand a very specific condition. I think that's as good. Herpesfish.com for dating for people who have herpes and want to find other people who also have it, understand it, and you don't need to worry about like having that conversation and kind of building through that or building through that barrier, I guess. So that's also a pretty big website. 650,000 profiles, I think, is what I read. So, you know, and I, again, that's one where it totally makes sense. Like if you have a condition that's probably not.
It's a transmittable disease, right?
Transmittable disease. Mm-hmm. It's not typically one people are eager to get, even if it's avoidable, right? Like even if you have ways of practicing or being together that minimizes the other person's risk, like it's not something they necessarily will volunteer to be part of that relationship for, right? So this is a way to find people who you don't need to worry about that with, and so those kind of things I think really make sense versus some of the other ones we'll get back to, which are a little bit more based on just things you might be interested in.
Let's pivot back there.
So I'm just going to rifle off a couple of these because I want to get to some of the more meatier ones as well. But hotsaucepassions.com for people who love hot sauce. That's right.
No.
A social network for people who think food is bland if it's not spicy enough to make their foreheads sweat.
Oh my God.
Their little advertising play ends with, "Why risk caring? I don't like spicy food on a first date. when you know that would be a deal breaker.
Oh my God, that's kind of silly.
Tallfriends.com for people who like dating tall people or are tall and want to date other tall people. Which,
do they
according
both have to be tall?
You know, that's a good question. Actually, yes. It says, we bring together tall, dating-minded singles. Here you can mingle with tall singles, tall, beautiful women, tall, handsome men, and those tall people admirers. Oh, actually, so tall people admirers would be a short person, I guess. So if you are a short person and want a tall person, I guess this works for you as well.
Interesting. Because it's, I'm interested in that because I guess I can see if you want to date another tall person, I get it. But it's also, I think it's one of those common things I see that like men complain about on dating sites that women always like, I need a tall guy. Or that's where like women are super critical if they're not tall enough. And one thing I'll say is I have two good friends who are 6 feet or close to 6 feet tall. And they always talked about like not, you know, really not wanting to date shorter men. And I just never really got it. I was like, well, like, whatever. But because I, like, I'm never really in a situation romantically where I'm taller than the person. And then I went on a few years ago a date. And I forget if we met at a bar or it might have been, like, an online date. But I had, like, we met in person and it was at a coffee shop. And I remember he was a lot shorter than me. And I'm like 5'5". He was probably like 5'1". It was not even a conscious decision. But before I knew it, I had just like much like taken a really wide stance and kind of like slouched so that like it was completely
like
subconscious.
You're peeing at a kid's urinal.
Kind of like it was just a completely subconscious thing. I was like, oh, like this really is like reinforced societally and culturally is that like men must be taller than women in a heterosexual relationship. And I know there are plenty of people who that doesn't matter to. And I don't think it matters to me like consciously, but apparently subconsciously, I was like, oh, this feels strange. And I also think part of that is not wanting if you buy into like the or adhere to some of the social pressures. It's like you as a woman, you don't want to feel more
big.
Overbearing than a man or like more powerful or have more presence or whatever.
Yeah,
so
power
I think there's a lot of layers to it, but oh, it's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I have a couple thoughts on that. First is nothing bugs me more than the amount of bitching on like the Tinder subreddit and other by men who are complaining that the women they're talking to want taller men than them. Like, I am not a tall man. Let's be very clear. I am 5'7" on a good day. And
yeah, I, for a long time, I thought you and I were the same height.
Yeah. Well, I slouch horribly. But I'm still 5'7", not tall for a guy. Right.
Right.
And so I think I can, I mean, I'm not saying I'm the shortest guy ever, but I can speak for generally shorter men and say, Jesus fucking Christ, get over it. There are other women. Like it's like if that person is not interested in you for a physical appearance or physical aspect of yourself, go find someone who is. Like it's not that big of a deal. And I hate the Napoleon complex that I see from my fellow dudes and all that, but
I kind of agree, but I also think it's like a really shallow thing for a woman to say to a guy, like, because it's like, how is that any different than a guy saying like, you have small tits?
Like, yeah, no, I completely agree. But that's like, but like the offense you take at that, like, get over it.
Right.
Like,
you have to know that's a shit. Just accept that's a shitty person. And
exactly.
Like, don't take it personally.
Like, yeah. And that's what I get annoyed by. Like, cause I think like, maybe it's just my perspective of what people are saying, but it's like, I read into it as, those people getting angry at the fact that they're short, right? Like,
right.
Oh, if I was taller, she'd be into me. I would have a better job. People would look up to me in a different way, or their power dynamics would be different. Like, which is may all be true, right?
Right.
But I don't know. Move on. I don't have a lot of patience for it. And part of the reason for that too is, like, I wouldn't have a problem dating a woman taller than me. At least I think that. I've never done it, so who knows if that's the case. But I like to think that too. But like, I have a friend I was very close to growing up, and he was a very short guy. Like, I think in high school he was like 5'2"-ish or something like that, right? And
yeah,
he's one of the most awesome people I've ever met, one of the most confident people, one of the most eloquent, talented. Like, the guy has a double doctorate. He's a neurosurgeon and has and he's an MD and a PhD in neurology, and is a neurosurgeon. He's an amazing guitar player. He's an amazing chef. Like, this guy can fucking do it all. And mm-hmm. he has had not had a problem, like, finding partners, to my knowledge, right? And it's because he's a great person. And so, again, like, I'm not saying you don't have different challenges with height. I'm not saying that the society doesn't have weird rules, especially about heterosexual relationships, like you're saying, in height. But, like, I don't know. Just, like, maybe make yourself the thing that matters and not your height, and find people who care and about you and not your height, and move on with your fucking life. Swipe and keep swiping.
Well, it's easy for you to say, Jordan. You're already married.
Yeah, because I found one.
You already tricked someone into marrying you. Not fair.
Some people who have less ability to date online but still have managed to do so are the Pennsylvania Dutch. So AmishCrush.com is a website for Amish... Amish Mennonites? Is that for the Amish to date each other?
Isn't that a paradox? How do they get online when they don't have electricity?
The website actually goes into a lot of really good detail on this. And I'm going to read from it, quoting off and on here, but even in today's modern world, most people think of the Amish culture as completely shutting technology in every form. The very idea of an Amish dating site seems to be contrary to the Amish way of life. However, online dating is a very real thing for Amish people, especially during Rumspringa, and is a great way for Amish men to help an Amish or Mennonite person find his or her life partner. What's interesting is the website then goes on to be very, like, this is maybe the only time I saw this in all the websites I was looking at, was having the person using it be conscientious of whether or not it was right for them to use.
Oh, okay. So there, like, is a moral dilemma. And I was going to joke, like, when do they use it? Is it Rumspringa? Yeah. And that makes total sense.
So this website says, basically, if you are actually interested in joining an Amish dating service, there's quite a few things you should consider before you set up a profile. First, decide whether it's the right move for you. The use of technology varies among Amish communities, but one thing remains constant. Technology must never get in the way of family or faith. We are, like, basically the website's arguing that technology is helping create new families that are deeply rooted in the Amish faith. But again, if you feel that it's a conflict, don't use it, is what they're saying.
Right.
Again, you might choose to accept certain technology uses, but distance yourself from the technology as well. So, for example, don't expect to constantly check your profile to see if you have new messages or requests. And things. So again, like, weirdly, for a web applications in the modern day, cautioning people against overusing their website and making sure it's, like, the right thing to do.
And conscientious dating.
Yeah, and they even have advice around sexual intercourse, pointing out that it is rare for you to engage in sexual intercourse before becoming a life partner. If your purpose in using online dating is for sex, then an Amish dating site is probably not for you.
Also, if you call it sexual intercourse and not sex,
is that not what you put on your Tinder profile? DTSF.
DTSF. Wait, what's SF? SI.
Sexual intercourse. DTSI. Yeah.
Down to sexual intercourse. Yes.
Perfect. So I don't know. I found that really interesting. It's hard to tell sometimes how serious this is. I could see some of the profiles, and some of the people did look like they could be Amish, or they found Amish stock photos on the internet. But, like, again, the fact that it was, like, kind of a very serious warning and explanation of how to use it if you choose to use it, I found that, like, it was nice to see, I guess,
right.
Especially in comparison to the kind of Mark Zuckerberg driven internet of, use our stuff, let me capture all the data that I have about you, right, and make money off you as a person. So I thought that was kind of nice. There's two more that I'm going to talk about. One is quick here, which is the seacaptaindate.com. I thought about this because of your dad and in our previous discussions of his maritime adventures and our sea shanty episode, really, in general. This is the only website in the world built from the ground up with the noble goal of connecting sea captains and the people who love them. However, don't fret if you're not a captain or a maritime professional, because any lonely soul who simply yearns for the cool ocean breeze can sign up for a free Sea Captain Data count. No captain's license required.
That's a cop-out. That's so weird. Yeah, that's so weird.
I went through 5 pages of profiles on this.
Were none of them sea captains?
5 pages of old white men.
Oh, no.
There was not a single woman on any of the profiles. So
the site they're looking for is sugardaddy.com.
Yeah. Well, I'm about to get to that. So, but sea captains, you know, if there are any of you out wenches out there that are looking for your sea captain to date, there's a lot of like 56, 57 year old sea captain looking guys on that website who would be interested in you.
Nice.
Yeah. So let's talk then about, on the note of sugar daddy, you might have heard of this one. It's made a little bit of a splash. And MissTravel.com.
No.
So MissTravel.com was founded by a guy named Brandon Wad. I'm going to say Wad because Wad sounds gross.
I think Wad sounds better than Wad.
Well, okay, we'll say Brandon Wad, who I think also, like, in my very cursory research, I think he runs multiple dating sites, but this seems to be like the famous one of the famous ones. But I want to, this one's the most interesting to me, which is it's a unique way for wanderlust to travel or explore the world. It's a community made up of real people interested in seeing the world and sparking new connections. The idea is to travel as you meet people. Now here's the key, right? Instead of meeting for dinner and drinks at a local restaurant, their members choose to date while traveling in luxury, staying in the best hotels and indulging in the finest dining. I think you can see where I'm going with this. There are two types of things that they kind of, if you're interested in setting up profiles, they have two like big bold headers on the page. First one, do you want to whisk someone away? Generous members have the resources to travel in luxury and wish to share the experience with a beautiful companion. Or do you want to be whisked away? Attractive members desire a lavish lifestyle and enjoy spending time with wealthy people who provide companionship and access to the best that life has to offer.
That is quite the spin to put on exactly what a sugar daddy is. Like, that is literally what it is. It's just, you know, focusing on the travel portion of it.
I found like one little animated commercial that it was like clipped into something else because I couldn't find like the real original version on YouTube anymore. But it basically has, yeah, like an animated advertisement for it. And it's focused on those people, those attractive people who want to be whisked away. And it says, are you attractive but don't have the money to travel?
Oh my God.
And there was like, I found some YouTube clips of some of the women who have done this and like videos of them participating and being like interviewed. Anderson Cooper did an interview with some of them. And I think there's some other like new, maybe 60 Minutes. Or actually, he's on 60 Minutes. I don't know. There was some other interviews, but the question that Anderson Cooper asked and others did as well was basically, do you not feel that this is essentially an escort service? Like,
yeah, it is.
Yeah. And the women defended themselves as saying like they, at least the women that were interviewed and what they said on the show was that there was no like sexual interaction on these dates for them. Like they slept in separate bedrooms. Like, yes, they flew together. They went in the hot tub. They went on the beach, they went to fancy dinners, they went dancing and stuff. But then at the end of the night, they hugged and went to separate bedrooms and so
forth. This sounds like my ideal setup. Like, I was already intrigued even if we had to have sex, but if you're telling me there's separate bedrooms, like, well, sign me up, make my profile.
I thought this would be the one for you.
Yeah, I'm actually genuinely intrigued. I'm not kidding. I've genuinely thought about being a sugar baby. Like, it's just way too creepy for me. But I'm like, you know what? People... people
if,
do
if
it.
If you're willing to spend the money on me, it's really on you, right? Like,
it's really on you. Your issue, whatever. I could, or like being an escort. I've genuinely like contemplated it in my mind, like what that would look like. Just because, man, what an easy way to make money and, you know, not have any like real work stress and just kind of coast through life. I get why people do it. People do it.
I mean, we say that, but on the other hand, like, again, like the two or three women that were interviewed were very like, oh, they were perfect gentlemen. You know, we went to separate bedrooms. But like, I have a hard time believing that every attractive young 20-year-old who gets flown to a random country in
is not being banged or banging
or has a lot of ability to say no. Right. Like,
yeah,
they probably have desire, but not necessarily have a lot of capability of doing so when you're dealing with a 50-year-old very rich wealthy man in a place that maybe doesn't have the best protections for you as well, right? Like, so yeah. I mean, like, that's where it gets a little
more than a little dicey. Yeah. But hey, I'm still game, so take me to misstravel.com.
We will set your profile up. So I think what I'll end on here is there was a little bit of a good article I found that it was discussing specifically like Star Trek dating, like people who have people who are also Trekkies, right? And I didn't bother talking about any of those sites here, but they talked to a couple of dating experts and psychology experts and so forth to kind of understand like why you would choose to like hyper focus your dating preferences on something that's, for example, the same television show that you like, right?
Okay.
In terms of Star Trek, right? And kind of the summary there was that the appeal is a judgment-free zone where people who are like you can mingle without having to hide aspects that they might have to do in public, right? And, you know, some dating expert said, it sort of reminds me of every different color of crayon in the crayon box. There's a different kind of sight for everybody these days. Finding something that is unique about yourself that you can share with someone else is really important. On the other hand, there are people like a dating coach named Evan Mark Katz. And I don't know what a dating coach is outside of Hitch, but but he kind of pointed out that he thinks it's not necessarily the greatest way to meet somebody, in that like a mutual quirky interest or shared obsession isn't really an indicator of your future compatibility, right?
I totally agree. It's like way too niche. You're hinging an entire relationship off of one thing, and unless it's like the defining factor and the most important part of your being, which it most likely isn't for a lot of these things, then it's just
a
gamble. Why not cast a
problem?
Yeah, and like why not cast a broader net then, and like bond over other things? Like, in it seems what it boils down to for some of these more niche interests, like, again, aside from religion or, you know, things you really want to be aligned on.
No, I get what you're saying. Like, he goes on to make the point that basically like says, how many grandparents do you know that stayed together because they both like Lawrence Welk? And I don't know who Lawrence Welk is, but
you never saw Lawrence Welk? He was on PBS. He had like that weird old timey, I want to say it was like a singing show. They've done parodies of it on SNL.
Did he have like an accordion or something?
Maybe. That sounds vaguely right.
Maybe,
yeah.
But yeah, okay. So anyways, the point is they both like, how many people do you know that got together and stayed together because of a very specific thing like that, right? And he said, you know, if you want to go to a Star Trek convention, great, go without your wife and have fun. he says you end up with small pools of people and matches where one person is 30 and one is 60, and you can probably imagine the gender splits there, or one is in Greensboro and one is in another country. He says, I wish all the sites well, but I would never recommend a client join one. And I think that is kind of the challenge, right, of doing this. But on the other hand, we've gone through a lot of these examples, and I'm trying to be optimistic about this, and so I do think there are enough, probably fake in a lot of ways, but enough posted success stories on these websites of people who did meet somebody that they might not otherwise have met, who they're able to bond over a common thing that may not be as easily to bond over on Tinder or Hinge or Bumble or whatever. So, I think it's kind of cool that people have been able to find their little niches, even in the dating world this way.
I'm just waiting to find my perfect match.
And that's Obscure Dating Science. If you have a good story of your online dating experience, please send it to Brenna and also send her your favorite profiles for her to swipe right on. If you want to reach out to her, you can reach us at Subsecurity Podcast on Instagram. Our Twitter handle is @SubsecurityPod and our website is Subsecurity.com. You can also email us at Subsecurity@gmail.com. Our intro and outro music is the instrumental of We're Better Together by Go Mordecai. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.